We'll start now. Okay, first I want to thank our cousins for the alarm clock. Okay, for waking us all up. It was really perfectly timed.
Our cousins.
Every time you're either going to get ready to go somewhere, or going to get ready for bed, or
and I also want to thank Miriam for sponsoring the lavish breakfast in memory of this, or the dedicated in memory of her grandmother. Name?
Rachel
Leah Batshuel. Okay. And it's also, it's good that we didn't cancel the shiur this week. With all the things going on, with all the rockets in air and bombs bursting.
We need
bursting,
to learn more, not less.
We need to learn more. Correct. Absolutely correct. Okay. And that's basically what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about fighting a war, how we fight, how we don't fight. And we'll learn some cool midrashim as well. That made me think of yesterday, we were on the way to Yerushalayim. Yes, sir. Oh, you're standing here. Did you dive in yet? Go. Yesterday, we were on the way to Yerushalayim, and we enjoyed the benefits of an azakar. Rina heard it from the window. It's kind of hard.
Well,
stop on the side of the road.
Going in my head, so it was just a little...
But I think all of us have seen by now, one time or another, the Iron Dome, like, shh, go up.
Yeah.
The shots going up, and it's just, I think that it's very important for us to, like, sometimes when we take, it's a technology now, like, we take it for granted. We can't take it for granted. It's just the incredible divine protection that we're enjoying thus far. And the Yad Hashem, Rina showed Petachia picture, it's going around, the real Kippat Barzel, the real, you know, that there's we have to have a trust in Hashem that He's protecting us as well, and we'll get to that at the very end. Okay. What's that?
He's protecting us through that.
Rare that it is Hashem protecting us.
It's incumbent upon us to emphasize that and to remember it and to realize it. Mm-hmm. Correct. That's what I'm saying. That Yad Hashem is there. The question is whether we see it or not, and how well we see it. And that's the idea. Yeah, 100%. 100%. It's always been the case, on the one hand, but always also, it's important to remind ourselves and to remember. Okay?
So
we're going to talk about...
Hundreds and hundreds of Tehillim, and how many people have died? You know? What?
Really?
Oh, that's... Wow, that's bad.
Okay. Okay. So... On that note, we're going to talk about the battle, the war against the Midianim, as it's described in the Torah. Okay? Why the Midianim? Let's see what happened with the Midianim. Very interesting. At the end of Parshat Balak, as we know, Parshat Balak ends with the story of Benot Moab. Let's go to the end of Balak for just a second. Just a second. Okay? Turn to Perek Kafei. Pasuk Aleph, because we're going to do a little bit of jumping around. I don't know, because we never do that. Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim. The Jewish people are in Shittim. Vayachal Am Lisnot El Benot Moab. The nation begins to engage in immorality with the daughters of Moab. Vatikren Am Lizibchei Elohim. Vayochal Am Vayishtachavu Elohim. And we're not going to go into this in detail. We've done this before. We'll do it some other time. But they bowed down to their gods. They began through the Znut. Through the adultery, through the immorality, that brought them to idolatry. So the Jewish people began to bow down to Peor, began to engage in idolatry, and God became angry. Pasuk Dalet. If you take it, the vengeance of God, out on the leadership, and you hang them up before the nation... Okay, then the wrath of God will be calmed. I'm in the end of Balak. I'm the end of the last parak. Okay. Blah 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 blah. V'yom ha'mashal shaftei Yisrael hirgu ish anashav nisvedim v'bal Peor. Moshe says, kill all the people that are bound to Peor. Okay. V'hine pasuk vav and mikaf hey vav. Ish mivnei Yisrael ba. A man from Yisrael came. V'yakrev elachav. And he brought to his brothers, the Midianite, to the eyes of Moshe and the eyes of all of the Jewish people, and they are crying in front of Ol Moed. Okay, what I'd like to point out here is, what's interesting here, who did he bring? Which person did he bring? what kind of person it is described that he brought in front of Moshe. We're going to see their names in a second. What's this woman described as?
Midianite
woman. What's the problem with the fact that this is a Midianite woman? What? No, well, that's not the problem. Ah, right. Remember, who do the Jewish people engage in? Where are they in proximity to? Who are they sleeping with? Who's getting them involved in all this idolatry? Here, all of a sudden, what do we find? El Hamidyanit. Why is there a Midianite? I mean, it's like all fine and good that, you know, Moabite women are Moabite women. What's a Midianite woman? More, let's, and we know the story. Pinchas comes and he stabs him in the stomach, and blah, blah, blah. Okay? Now we're going to skip to the beginning of Pinchas, which is our parasha. Okay? God comes and says, Pinchas ben Elazar, Hishi ben Chamati. Skip to the next parasha, Pinchas. We're still in Perek Kafei. Pasuk Yud Dalet. 25 Yud Dalet, 14. B'shem Ish Yisrael Hamukeh, the name of the Jewish man, the Israelite man, who was struck by Pinchas, Asher Huka Et HaMidyanit, I don't even know how to translate that, who was struck together with the Midianite, we'll just translate in context, with the Midianite, Zimri ben Salu Nisi Beit Av L'Shimoni, Zimri, the son of Salu, who was the prince of the Shimon, very important person, okay, who was the woman, B'shem HaIsha Hamukeh HaMidyanit, Kazbi Batsur, and the name of the Midianite woman who was struck was Kazbi Batsur, Rosh Umot Beit Av B'Midyanhu. Who was Tsur? Rosh Umot Beit Av, the head of the nation of the family. How do you translate that? Head of
the father's house in Midian.
Okay, the head of the people of the father's house. So, who is this woman? Look at Rashi now for a second. What in the world is she doing there? How did she get there? Why is she there? Rashi on Tetva, B'shem Aisha Amukah, says Rashi, Lodiacha Sina Atan Shel Hamidyanim. This tells you the great hatred of the Midianites for us. How much did they hate us? Shehivkiru Bat Melech Liznut Kedei Lahachti Et Yisrael. They sent their princess to engage in zinut, in immorality, in order to cause the Jewish people to sin. And it's one thing, b'not Moab, v'yachal ha'am, l'znot el b'not Moab. But it's another thing to say, what in the world is this woman doing there? How did she get there? Why is she in the midst of b'not Moab? You have all these Moabite women, and then you have this Midianite woman. What? They know their enemy well. But what's she doing there? Where are the rest of the Midianite women? We don't hear anything about any other Midianite women. Just her. She's like a... It's like a bad movie. It's like a bad spy movie. You know what I'm saying? To entice the... It's very interesting. More. One second. We'll see. What exactly was she sent for? We'll see in a second. We'll see at least a second according to one of the Midrashim. Let's go on. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. So who would you expect God to say, you got to get them, we got to pay them back? Who would you expect them? What? You would say that?
Well,
who caused the...
Moab.
Right. At least I would expect Moab. Why Moab? V'yachal ha'miznot el benot Moab. It's communally, it's the Moabites. V'yidaber Hashem Moshe l'emor. Saror et ha'midyanim. Now we're going to be more careful. We're going to read it slower. Saror et ha'midyanim v'hikitem otam. We've got to translate this. Saror. What's the root of Saror? Tsar. What is the word of meaning of the word saror et amidyanim mean?
Constrain.
From tsar. Oh, tighten.
Latsor
means?
Latsor,
okay, what is a latsor? Latsor is?
Stomp.
Oh, your shirt found that. Good for you. What? To stop them? Hello, everyone.
Make life difficult for them.
Tsar. Afflict them. What does it mean? How do you do that? It's really unclear what it means. Sarur, it's anybody have what?
Are they near Midian even?
What? They're next to Midian. The Moab and Midian are in the same general area. Sarur. Hirsch translated as oppress the Midianites. Hikitem otam. Hikitem means?
And attack them.
With the aim of?
Killing them.
Kill them. Sarur. Right? Attack them and kill them. What's the difference between Tzaruar and Hikitem? What are you supposed to do if you're just supposed to attack them before you kill them? How are you supposed to oppress them? Torture them? It doesn't say. Why?
Weaken them.
Is it, if you would say Hakeotam, attack them, but it's not enough.
They need fish and they go.
Hard to know. I don't know the answer to that. What Tzaruar really means. Why? What? Make them miserable. Meaning, sounds like lay siege, make them suffer, and after you make them suffer, then kill them. Just derech agav, what would we say if we tried to do that today? If we did that today, if we fulfilled this commandment today, well, you know. Right. The world... Well, we haven't been condemned yet, but, you know, we're almost there. Emergency meetings in the UN. What?
We're so close.
Right. Access as a strength, you know. Whatever. Be careful. Don't hurt them too badly. You know, even though they're shooting rockets at you. Imagine if, you know, as it goes on. So imagine if we did this. Say, no, we're going to follow the commandment of the Torah, and we're going to make them suffer, and then we're going to kill them. Wouldn't go over very well. What? Well, I mean, what? As in coffee,
water.
Forget that. Yesterday, I saw a news item.
What country allows?
I saw a news item that pointed out that we transferred something like 200 tons of goods for the civilian population of Gaza yesterday.
For the leftists.
Because that's us. What?
Certainly not going according to this. We're sending them that.
I don't know. They're not Midianim.
They're not trying to get us to sin.
Oh, very good. Let's see. One second. I want to talk about that. Very good. Very good. Kitzorim heim lachem. Why do you do it to them? Because tzorim heim lachem.
They did it to you, but
Wait. Translate it.
They are doing it to you.
Oh. Tzorim heim lachem.
The present.
They are afflicting you. Benichleihem. In there. Help me out here.
Benichleihem.
In their wiles. Anybody else have a translation? Nichleihem. These are hard words. Because they are afflicting 18. You. 18. In their... 18. Maybe?
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy. That they conspired against you, al-Davar Pu'or. V'al Kozbi bat Nisim Midyan Achotam. And on the matter of Kozbi... the daughter of the prince of Midian, Hamuka, that was struck. This idea, this Cosby thing is a big deal. Her presence there implies a great deal. And implies things are much worse than the Moabites themselves. So we're at Midianim. Let's see. So see, look at Rashi for a second. So Rerim Lachem Lachem. Well, first I want to point something interesting out. Let's look at the Pasuk. Sarur et Midianim. Vihikitem otam. What's the problem with the language? I know it's a Friday, but everybody stay with me.
Singular and then plural.
Excellent. Sarur et hamidyanim. Singular. Vihikitem otam. And strike them plural. Everybody see that? So we have a problem. How do you solve that problem? There's two ways to solve the problem. One is to say one is plural, one is plural. Look at Rashi for a second on Sarur. Sarur kimol zachor. Shamor, lashon hove, aleichem laayev etchem. It's not a singular, you tzarur. It's a you collective. You must be continuously afflicting them. You're in a constant state of struggle with the people of Midian. Tzarur.
Who
are
Midian today?
We don't know. Everyone got mixed up. Everyone did get mixed up. But tzarur et Midianim. You must be in a constant state of unease, of not peace, of afflicting. You're always looking to. Why? Because they're always looking to get you. So Rashi solves the problem of the tense by saying that Sarur means all of you together. It's plural. Sarur, v'hikitem.
Is this going to be a warmonger shir?
No. You just want to have it.
What?
You just want to have it prep.
I just want to make sure, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where we're headed here.
Balaturim says something actually more interesting. Balaturim says, if you have it, so I roar over here. Tzarur, he points out, Lashon Yachid. See where I am on Tav Kuf Yud Bet? You see where I am? Tav Kuf Yud Bet? There's a Balaturim right there on Yud Zion. On the page, Tav Kuf Yud Bet on the top. Tav Yud Bet. See the Balaturim there? Tzarur? Balaturim. Yeah, there you go. Tzarur, Lashon Yachid. Vihikitem, Lashon Rabim. Why he says, well, so that makes no sense. Why is one singular and one plural? Listen to this. Tzarur, ki al yadcha haya she'amar la aviha, ki al yadcha. Tzarur is to Moshe. Why? Because it was supposed to happen to you. She'amar la aviha, because this woman, Husby, her father said to her, al tiv ali ela legadol shebehem. You got to go after the head honcho. Bizehu Moshe. Meaning, she was sent not for the prince of Shimon. She was supposed to get to Moshe. Can you imagine? Lo, like it's hard for even to wrap your head around that. But can, you know, what would have happened to Klai if Moshe had sinned?
Oh, forgot and destroyed.
The nation would have been destroyed.
Hashem would have destroyed.
What? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. So I will agree with you. But Moshe Rabbeinu was a human being like everybody else. And our greatest leaders were certainly susceptible to such.
The reason why he wasn't living with his wife.
Exactly. That means he was
on a different level. Yeah.
According to the Baal Turim, it means she tried to get to him.
Didn't succeed, so she went to somebody else.
Somebody, right, a little bled down. But can you imagine, like, the idea in the Baal Turim is almost, it's shocking, but so sensible. That's who you'd go for. Why would you go for some guy Zimri? Like, you know. Who was from?
Yeah.
What? According to the Midrashim, on Pinchas, according to the Midrashim in last week's Parsha, so at the end, Zimri came to Moshe and said, "Am I allowed to live with her?" And Moshe's like, "No." And they said, "How could you can marry your wife, and I can't be with her?" And that's why it says Hema Bochim, because it was an affront to Moshe. They were crying. Moshe had no answer. It was a direct attack at Moshe.
So what is
here, I just fascinating. God says to Moshe, "Sarora Tamidyanim." Remember, it just reminds me of. Do you remember why the first Gulf War happened? Do you remember why the second Gulf War? Remember why George W. Bush went to war with Iraq? That what? That's what people say. No, that wasn't why they say. They say because Saddam sent somebody to try to kill his father.
Really?
That there was like an assassination attempt against him. Right, that they had uncovered some kind of plot. It's always personal. There's always like in this... You ever heard that? Never heard that?
No.
You never heard that George W. Bush, the son, wanted to avenge...
Is it true?
Who knows if it's true? No, that's a motivation. But here, God's saying to Moshe, Tzarur et Midyanim, you Tzarur, because it came after you. And then, V'hikitem otam, as collected as a nation. I saw that, I was like, wow, that's crazy. Okay. Why? Ki Tzarurim heim lachem benichleichem asher nichluz hamadvar po'or. Because they are Tzarurim to you in their, I remember, say, how did he translate it? Nichleichem, in their conspiracy. That they conspired on the matter of the poor. It was a tactic. It was a battle tactic. If we can somehow get these people to lose their spirituality, lose their divinity, then we can overcome them. And on
Devar... High level war tactic.
What?
It's such a high level war tactic.
It certainly is.
It's like spying. It's the same.
No, I mean, because you appreciate that the strength of the Jewish people is their connection to God. And if you can somehow sever their connection to God, then you'll be able to beat them. Which is, thank God, our enemies aren't listening to this. I'm doubt they'll listen to a shiur on the internet on YU Torah. Because our enemies don't realize and don't understand that the best thing that they can do for us is to bring us together and bring us closer to God.
Yesterday I was
stomach. It's the spirit and the fat bowls. It's a fighting man sitting playing the lottery and the shouting. So everybody, because they're all sitting together playing cards in the lottery, and they're sitting on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Everybody, you don't understand. Our problem is not the Arabs. The problem is ourselves. We need to be strong from within.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, like, I feel I have this knowing feeling, and I don't know. You can. I feel like people say it became clear now that all our tefillot, all our those 2.5 weeks that we went through. But it turns out afterwards that we were all davening to save the boys. The boys were long. They were long gone. They were gone. So why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it out in such a way that we didn't know that for 2.5 weeks? And raises this question of what were we praying for? And one gets the sense, one gets the feeling that we as a Jewish people needed those 18 days of achdut, of togetherness, of connection to God. And that gives us a certain spiritual strength, a certain spiritual power. That we're kind of, you know, needing now. We're kind of using now. And we shouldn't minimize that. You know, that even that for that reason, and it brought us about, like, after, once things had died down before this whole thing started again, you know, people started arguing with each other, and the politicians, for like 3 days, it was like, and everybody started saying, oh, see, if only the unity could last, and see what's happening to us. I never see things that way. I think about these events sort of like Yom Kippur. Rina said it to me also. Yom Kippur not every day is supposed to be like Yom Kippur. You can't be perfect. What? Yeah. You can't be perfect every day of the year. We have things that we need to argue about. We have things that we disagree about. We have disputes and debates, and we're not perfect people.
It's normal.
But the beauty of those 18 days was, it was like a Yom Kippur, in that Yom Kippur is a day that we show the Bono Shel Olam. When we really try, we can reach great heights. And that's how I felt about those 18 days. That for whatever, because when we needed to, when we really had to, we were able to come together. And that gives us an incredible amount of strength. And our enemies don't understand that it doesn't make us weaker. It doesn't bring us farther from God. It brings all of us closer to God when they attack us. And the best thing that they could do for themselves, if they really wanted to weaken us, is to leave us alone. And we would go back to our normal, you know, pettiness and what have you. And here we're seeing this danger, the brilliance of Midian, the danger of Midian wasn't that of Moab. Moab attacked us. We'll say Moab hated us. Moab was afraid of us. They're an enemy. We appreciate that. You know, you're afraid, you want your territory, we can get that. But to try to weaken us from a spiritual perspective, it comes from a certain point of view, a certain negativity, a certain hatred toward what we represent that was seen as a direct threat to the Jewish people. And that clearly demands this almost unbelievably harsh response. Afflict them and attack them. Harsher than basically every other enemy. Almost every other enemy. Yeah, tell me.
No, I was going to say, I think what was amazing about that period of Chai, which I think you said was for us, was the leadership of the Imahot.
That was amazing. Yeah, it was a very...
And how made that connection with their legs, with the air. Yeah. It was Bat Galen, Yuret, and Rachel. And it started with the air. They were like the air Miriam. And it happened at the time of the air Miriam. And they were giving us this emuna and this Torah, this water that we needed.
I had the great privilege.
So helpful.
I accompanied two rabbis, Rabbi Yaakov Meidan and Rabbi Avichai Ronsky, to the RCA conference on behalf of Tzohar. And so it's a great privilege because you get to talk to them a little bit. And so Rav Ronsky mentioned a number of times, he said he got a call from someone in pretty high up in the Shabak. Shabak, what's that?
Yeah.
You all know what that is. Okay. Who said to him, he said he felt like he was living in some kind of biblical experience, like some kind of Irua Tanachi. You really just had to have this feeling that this was something different, something me'al. You know? Yeah. So but it gave us a lot of strength. It's a tremendous chut for those boys. who knew that they had that zchut, and those the imahot. It's very powerful. Look at Kli Yakar for a second. What does it mean, Tzorurim Heim Lachem? Because this is actually relevant to us today. Tzorurim Heim Lachem. The problem is, what should the Pasuk say? You should hit them. Why? Ki Tzoruru Heim Lachem. Because of what they did to you. But it's not Tzorurim. It's not Tzorurim. It's Tzorurim. Meaning, what's Tzorurim? They are doing to you.
Present progressive?
Present continuous. Thank you. What they are continuing to do. Why does it say that? Okay? Look at Kli Yakar. If you have Kli Yakar, it's worth seeing Kli Yakar. Okay? Bepasuka kodeim nir'a kefer lashon tzarur tamidyanim v'kitem otam. So in the previous pasuk, it seems to be double language. Tzarur and kikitem. Ma bein tzarur v'kitem. What's the difference between afflict and strike? Verazal amru. This is a midrash. What they say? Mikan haba lehargecha hashkem lehargo. Right? Someone who comes to kill you, what should you do? Hashkem lehargo.
Get up
early. Meaning what?
Before,
right. Don't wait for him to... Don't wait. They're trying. They're attempting.
Preempt.
Don't wait until they shot at you 27 times until you wait. Okay. V'lashon tzorurim.
And it is the parsha.
I'm just reading the Kli Yakar. Lashon tzorurim tzarich bi'or. Ki mashmauto. What does it mean, tzorurim? It implies tzorurim lechem adayin. They are still doing it. Ve'ula yada Hashem yitvarach. Perhaps God knew. Ma shebelibatam shel midyanim. God knew what was in the hearts of the midyanim. Sha'adayin lo nach rogzam. That their rogez, their bitterness, their anger had not waned. Va'adayin hem tzorurim. They still hate, they still are tzorurim, afflicting you. Choshvim machshavot. They are thinking of different ways, thoughts. Lit'olel alilot beresha. In order to, lit'olel alilot. Somebody help me out here. Trina. To lit'olel, to make trouble, to make... Okay. V'ulai yoter mi b'bishona. Even worse than before. Lefisha nora de'achotam daluk b'libam. So now, what are they angry about? Now, what are they going to get mad about? Nura de'achotam. They have to avenge the blood of their sister. Those Jews, they killed our sister. We have to get them. Why did we kill our sister? She was a spy. She tried to destroy us. Doesn't matter. The Jews killed our sister. Let's go get them. So why does it's a fascinating description of psychology. Why are they tzorurim? They're tzorurim because clearly it's not that they try to kill us. They want to. They hate our guts. And no matter what we do, they're thinking of what's the next thing that we can do in order to get them. And they'll use whatever excuse they can use in order to find a reason to try to destroy us. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Just wondering. Okay, anyway, that's the Kli Yakar. It's not a warmonger shirt yet. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? So Moshe Rabbeinu...
That's our life right now.
What?
That's
so
our life
what right does Moshe Rabbeinu do? What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayhi achoy ha-magefa. Was after the magefa. V'yom Hashem Moshe v'elazar ben Aron ha-kohen le'mor. Se'u et rosh kol adat v'nei Yisrael. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Where? Right. There's a parsha in the middle of the pasuk. Very unusual. Right. It stops.
So what's the significance?
I could tell you what they're not. Some say it's to show you that right that there's a stop. They counted immediately afterwards. I was going to say what happens. Siud rosh kol adat v'nei Yisrael. Right after the magifa, they immediately stop and they count the Jewish people. What's fascinating is God says to Moshe, "What should you do? Go attack the Midianites." But before you could go attack the Midianites, what does Moshe do? He wants to see how many people are left. What's interesting is we know how many people are left. How many people were killed in the Magifa? Anybody remember? 24,000. 24,000 were killed. So just subtract 24,000. It is a significant number. We'll come back to the number in a bit. God says to Moshe, "Tzarur et ha-Midyanim, hikitem otam, go afflict the Midianim, blah, blah, blah." When does that actually happen? It doesn't happen until... Now we're going to skip. Skip to chapter 31. Parshat Matot. It doesn't happen until next week. I mean, it's unclear.
Coming at the Matot Tvila.
That's right.
Chapter
31. Perek Lamed Aleph. Everybody got it? Skip to... Turn to 31. Turn to Lamed Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem... Lamed Aleph Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemur. Nikom Nikmat B'nei Yisrael Meit HaMidyanim. Venge the vengeance of the Jewish people from the Midyanim. Achar Te'asef El Amecha. And afterwards, then you will die. The last thing Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to do is this. So it's very interesting that there's this, immediately after the whole episode of Kazbi, God says, I just want you to know, you're going to have to destroy these people. Right? They're your enemy, you're going to have to destroy these people. These Midyanim, they tried to do what they tried to do. And then we have this like long pause, and then when they do this count, and the God says something about Korbanot, there's a bunch of other stuff, and then we come back to it later. Moshe Rabbeinu, before you die, you have to now take care of this thing that I asked you to do before. So it wasn't as pressing as we thought. There were other things that were more important. Okay? Vayidaber Moshe el ha'am lemor. Moshe says to the nation, Heichaltzu me'idchem anashim latzava. Heichaltzu, chalutzim, chalutz. Right. Heichaltzu me'idchem, right? Heichalach, meaning... Take volunteers from you. Anashim latzava. V'yu al Midyan. And they should be against Midyan. Latet nikmat Hashem b'Midyan. To take the vengeance of God against Midyan. Very interesting. Like we talk about, you want the warmongering?
Yeah.
Very strong language. Nikmat Hashem b'Midyan. By the way, look at how did Moshe describe it and how did God describe it. Look carefully at the Psukim again. Read the Psukim again. What did God say in Pasuk Bet? What? Vengeance. Okay. But who, vengeance from who? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Nikom, Nikmat? What did God say? God says, Nikom, Nikmat, B'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and says, "Datei nikmat Hashem b'Midyan." It is very interesting.
Yeah.
So the Midrashim point out that God said, "It's nikmat b'nei Yisrael; it's in your honor." And Moshe Rabbeinu turned it around and said, "No, it's in God's honor, not nikmat, not our nekama. But we have to do it for Hashem." There's a lot of interesting things you can say about that. Why the Midyanim? Look at Rashi and Pasuk Bet. Fascinating Rashi. Me'eta Midyanim. Rashi says. Why not the Moabim? Shamoavim nichnasu ledavar machmat yira. Why did the Moabim fight? They were afraid. Shayu yireim mehem. Shiyu shololim otam. They were afraid of them. They were afraid that they would be destroyed. Shalona emar ella ba'altid garba milchama. What do we say about the Midianim later on? What Moshe Rabbeinu is warned, don't fight them. I'm sorry, Moabim. Don't fight Moab. So why did Moab fight with us? Why did they attack us? It says explicitly, they were afraid of us. They didn't know we would not have attacked them. So they attacked us out of fear. They attacked us out of their own self-interest. Ava Midyanim, but the Midianites, nit avru al riv lo lahem. They weren't in the way, so what did they do? They involved themselves in a fight that was not their own. Why do you involve yourself in a fight that's not your own?
Is your
boy? Because you have a hatred. Because you have a hatred. So this is the thing that really, like, that it's difficult for me to understand about what's going on now. Like, what's the point? What's the end game? How is it going to end up good for them?
No.
What?
No one thinks it's going to end up good.
What do they think? Do they think it's going to end up good for them?
No, I doubt.
So what do they think? It doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to, like, this is the thing that doesn't make any sense to me.
Because they took them out to bed down. They brought the bed down until there was one man and he was rocking his head.
Mm-hmm. Is that just it? There's a.
It
just makes me say there's a what?
It's just from hatred.
That's right.
That's
what made me. That's what made me think. Like, when only hatred could make you do something so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Okay, we have we say we have the hand of God. They say have the hand of God, but we have the Iron Dome. You know what I'm saying? It's not a fair fight.
They have 100 dead people.
And we talked about this yesterday. You know why they only have 100 dead people?
Because of fires.
Because we warn them when we go out of our way not to kill people.
Call them out before.
Not to kill people. Maybe they think that's a weakness. I have no idea.
It is.
It doesn't make any sense.
Of course it is.
It's hard for me. The only thing that could possibly be motivating this is such a terrible hatred of us. And it made me think of that when Rashi said, "Nitavru aviv lo lahem."
Like America did that.
We said, "Just stop!" Like, we're not interested. You know, we're giving you food, we're giving you electricity, we're giving you whatever. Like, it's hard to understand that kind of hatred. How do you? There's no answer to it. There's no logic. There's no talks. There's no negotiations. That's what it seems like saying. That these people can't. They're your enemy because they want to be your enemy. There's only one thing you can do about that. You have to fight with it. You have to try to destroy it. Okay. It's very unclear. You asked an excellent question. Why did Moshe not do it right away? But it seems that God said to him later on, that God said, remember we said, God said, Tzorot HaMidyanim, but then immediately God said, Se'u'et Rosh Kaladat. It wasn't Moshe didn't do it. And then Moshe said, that God said immediately afterwards, start counting the Jewish people. Like they had other things to do before they got to the war of Midian. And then God comes back to it, you know, a few prakim later and says, okay, now it's time. Who, Moshe? He did. One second. What's interesting is, V'achar te'asev alamecha, and then you will be destroyed. Oh, I have to read the second midrash. Very famous midrash, you just know. Okay? Davar acher, what's another reason why did we destroy Midian and not Moab? Mivnei shtei predot tovot sheyesh li lahotzi mehem. Because from Moab, there were two women that had to emanate from Moab first, before we could attack them. Ruta Moavia v'na'amah ha'amonit. Who is Na'amah ha'amonit? Na'amah ha'amonit. Meaning, all of history, according to Chazal, changed. Why? Because we needed these two women. And after that, yeah, you can destroy them. But those two women were critical. Just fascinating. Okay? Vayidaber Moshe la'am le'mor. So God says, Nikom nikma p'nei Yisrael meitam midyanim, and then you'll die. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? What would we do? God says, by the way, I got one more thing to do, and immediately afterwards, you're coming home. So what would we do?
Push it off.
Yeah, I got stuff to do. Okay, we'll get to it in a couple of days, whatever. Immediately, Rashi says, Vayidaber Moshe la'am le'mor. Right away. Heichatzim eitchem anashim la'tzava, v'yu amidyan latet nikmashem midyan. How much? Dalet. Pasuk dalet. I'm in lamed alef dalet. Elef la'mateh. L'chol matot Yisrael tishalchu la'tzava. Elef la'mateh, 1,000 per tribe, 1,000 per tribe, for each tribe in the Jewish people, you should send to the army. How many?
Why is it 12?
Interesting question. 12,000. Or?
1,000.
Is that a large number?
1,000.
Is that a large number?
What's Elef
la'mateh? Elef la'mateh. So you could say, there's two ways of reading it. One is, you could say, it's a repetitive. Sometimes the Torah repeats things in order to emphasize. Elef la'mateh, 1,000 per tribe. Or you could say, this is machloket in the midrash. Or you could say, it's 1,000
per tribe.
1,000. How many per tribe? 2,000 per tribe. Leaving you with what number?
4,000.
Ah, very good. It's a familiar number. Let's say it's 12,000. What kind of people? Why only 12,000? If you're going to fight an entire nation, how many would you normally muster?
As many as possible.
As many as possible. So if you look at it for a second, it says, Heichatzu me'itchem anashim la'tzava. Anashim. Look at Rashi for a second.
Rechavam ben Shlomo's mother's name was
Rechavam's mother's name was Na'amah?
Na'amah.
Okay, thank you. Anashim.
Rechavam, Shlomo's son, who
was king
after him, yeah. So his mother's name was Na'amah ha'amonit, which means Shlomo married an Ammonite, but that's not a whole discussion.
Right. Rashi says, Anashim, Tzadikim. Who would we take to fight Midian?
Wow.
Why?
We need our learners.
Why? No, the learners, absolutely. But why Tzadikim? What are we afraid of? How do the Midianim fight?
They fight
dirty. So the way you beat them in the fight is you have to have people who are going to be able to withstand their battle tactics.
So even though there is revenge and it's tzur because they're tzorim, it's not in the same way that they're tzorim.
No, it is.
No, it's not.
Oh, right.
It's not they fight dirty, so you fight dirty. If they fight dirty, so you fight them, but don't be sullied by their...
Well, they fight dirty, and you have to fight in a way that you are impervious to the way they're fighting.
Right.
You have to bring people who are not going to be susceptible to the way they fight. Okay? Let's read on. So they gave over from the thousands of Jewish people, one for 1,000 per tribe, it seems in the Peshat, 12,000 Chalutei Tzava. So Moshe sent them, Otam, ve'et Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen, them and Pinchas ben Elazar, Latzava, ukle HaKodesh, ve'chatzotot HaTrua Biyado. So he sent them, Moshe, with the Aaron, the Klei HaKodesh, and the Chatzotzot, and the trumpets. What? The shofar, trumpets. No, trumpets, not shofar. The silver trumpets. Vayitzvu'u al Midyan kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. And they armed against Midyan. Vayaharku kol zachar. They killed all the men. Who else did they kill? Ve'et malchei Midyan hargu al chalaleihem. The kings they killed. Evi, ve'et rekem, ve'et sur, ve'et chur, ve'et reva chamesh b'nei malchei Midyan. Five kings of Midyan. Ve'et Bil'am ben Be'or hargu becharev. And they also killed Bil'am ben Be'or, who, lo and behold, what do you know, happened to be there. I'll share something very interesting about Bil'am ben Be'or in a second. Okay? Why did they bring all those kelim in the bait from the Mishkan? Look at Rashi. Why do you take Pinchas? Why Pinchas and not Yehoshua? Why Pinchas and not Elazar? They always took a Kohen. Oh, they needed a Kohen to go out. Why Pinchas? So Rashi says, what? Rashi says Pinchas started it. He started the mitzvah. He killed Zimri and Kazbi. He should finish the job. There's another reason why we needed Pinchas. Look at Rashi on the Klei HaKodesh. Crazy Rashi. Rashi says, Klei HaKodesh. You see it? You guys have Rashi? Rashi on Pasuk Vav. Zeh Aaron v'hatzitz. What's the tzitz? We know the Aaron. The tzitz is says Kodesh Hashem in gold on the forehead plate. Okay, Shahaya Bil'am imahem. Bil'am was with the Midianites. Umafriach malchei Midian bakshafim. He caused the kings of Midian to fly using his black magic.
Fly,
mafriach, yes. He gave them the power of flight. They love this? V'hu atzmo poreach imahem. Bil'am himself flew as well. So that's a scary enemy. Shh, they can fly. How do we fight that? Hera lahem et hatzitz shahashem chakuk bo. So he took the tzitz and he goes, da-da-da! Right, the tzitz that the name of God is. Tell me if this sounds familiar. V'heim noflim. And they all fall down.
Who fell?
The kings. What? The kings fell. Out of the sky. The flying kings fell out of the sky. L'kach ne'emar. For this reason it says, Al chalaleihem. About the Milchei Midyan. It says they fell al chalaleihem on their bodies. Shenoflim al hachalalim me'avir. Because the bodies are falling out of the sky.
Onto the dead bodies on the ground.
Right? They have flying kings. We use our tzitz in order to defend ourselves and make the flying kings fall to the ground.
Do you take that literally?
What?
I need to know. Do you take it literally?
Doesn't
what?
Matter.
What?
But didn't they say Jesus? He had a also.
Right. Shh, no. What? That's what I'm implying. I just like it because of the imagery, right? They're flying against us, and we use a. That's a, right, exactly, and we that's what I. Do I take it literally?
No.
That's not flying people.
Just for Laura, I'll say no.
For Laura?
She's a literalist. She's a you.
That's what I asked you. Why do you think I asked you?
That's the whole question.
Oh, do I think it literally? Do you think the universe literally or not? Do you think it really happened? I mean, certainly don't have to. Why would you get the midrash from? You think it's just like stories that we tell? Why Rashi include it?
No, it's true on some level.
What does that mean? It's true on some level. What
it's
level?
They were flying. They were, I don't know, something. Not flying.
Do you really think the kings were involved in the war anyway?
Yes,
I do
think
the
kings. Maybe they were on the fly.
They were drugged.
What they could have done is they would have had catapults. Would they have catapults at that time?
They wouldn't have catapulted the king.
They would have been no. They would have been flinging stuff at us, and we need something to protect us from that. Tzitz. Kipata Barzel. Yes, there you go.
Jumping from somewhere, it looked like they were flying. Then you put the tzitz up, and they fell.
They were committing harikiri off a mountain.
I don't know.
Then you're just the end of the day.
Okay, Rita, what does it mean?
Yes.
If you don't think it literally.
I'm not saying for sure that it's.
No, I'm saying just say, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean?
What you said. I mean, God protected us. That the reason we win wars is because of God's protection. You do have to send the people out to fight.
Okay, but I agree that and I understand that. But what do you need to get into this whole? Like, it's a pretty intricate story. The kings flew, and then Bilam caused them. He said the incantation. It's very specific. It's very specific. It's not like if you started a Yalkut somewhere, like that.
They had a plan.
I have to accept it. Rashi brings it down the Midrash Rashi of the Torah. I don't know.
I'm not saying it didn't.
Let me put it this way. I used to take midrashim, I waver, I vacillate. Sometimes I think, it didn't really happen, it's imagery. Sometimes I think, who knows? You know, miraculous things can happen. Do we have to believe that it happened for sure? No, yeah, of course not.
We
certainly can. Anyway, okay. So that.
A message in any way. It represents storytelling.
Correct.
And to me, the message is very much that the spiritual strength of Israel is what overcame. The evil,
whatever,
of the enemy.
Correct. Rita said that. Yeah. Correct. That the tzitz represents Kodesh Hashem, that when we are sanctifying ourselves to God, then we can overcome even the most dangerous spiritual negativity. You can say that he used his kshafim, Bilam used the spiritual for negative, but when we use the kedusha, when we focus on the tzitz, on the ultimate sanctity, then we can overcome them. We can cause their flying kings to fall to the ground. You want to say that? That's fine. It's fine. But it's probably more entertaining to think about the kings flying in the air. I think it's cooler. Okay? Let's look at what we do. One more Rashi, and then we're going to see one more Midrash. How do they kill Bilam? Harguto becharev, by the sword. The Midrashim are explicit. And the Gemara say also, they didn't kill him in the war. They captured Bilam, they brought him back, and they killed him in Beit Din. Becharev. Hereg. They killed him in Beit Din. Look at Rashi for a second. Why they killed him with the sword? Hu ba'al Yisrael. So Bilam attacked the Jewish people. Hichlif umanuto be'umanutam. He tried, very famous idea. He stole our umanut. Our umanut is our craft. She'en notzchim. The Jewish people only win ela bepihem, with our mouths. Al yedei tfila u'bakasha, through prayer and supplication. Ubahu, and he came betafas umanutam. And he took their umanut, he took our craft, our ability, our talent, likalilam befiv, to curse us with our mouth. Afhim ba'u alav. So when we came back at him, hichlifu umanutam be'umanut ha'umot. Sheba'im becharev. So how do we kill him? We say, you took our thing, then we'll fight you your way too. And we killed him becharev. Meaning, you tried to kill us with our weapon, with our tefillah, with our words, so we'll kill you with your weapon. With a cherub, we don't have a choice. What's interesting, what's fascinating, of course, is this idea that Rashi says. Of course, we have to fight becharev, but our true fight, and this goes very well with the idea of the tzitz, is through our tefillah and through our bakasha. Somebody sent an email yesterday, a rabbi that I know, Rav Rafi Stern. He sent a very good point. I haven't been thinking about this. He said the best time, the most important time to say tefillah is when you go into the mamad. You go into the mamad and, I don't know, we sit and we wait. But that's when you should be davening. Like the tefillah, that Hashem should protect us. He said immediately afterwards, when everyone, the thing is safe, you should say Mizmor Todah.
That's what the kids do.
You should say Todah. Why are the kids in the Ganim? We should do this. This is our umanut. We fall prey to this. We do. We really fall prey to this. We fall prey to the notion that we have the Kippat HaBarzel. And we forget. So we keep saying, we forget the Kippat HaBarzel. What it really is the Aron and the Tzitz. And of course, the Kippat HaBarzel is there. But something's guiding these things. They're not 100%. Yeah.
Anyways, they hit very few of them. Most of them are still landing.
In open area.
They're not 100%. I'll end off with a non-warmongering for Rina. I'll end off with a Midrash. The Midrash says the following.
Don't limit it. Don't get me wrong. I don't think we should.
No, it's fine. The Midrash says the following. In the Pasuk Zayin, it says, okay? Pasuk Zayin, it says, Vayitzpu'u al Midyan, kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe, as Hashem commanded Moshe. So the Midrash says the following, and this actually is Paskin according to the Rambam Halacha. Mahu tomer lomar kasher tziva Hashem. What does it teach us that God commanded? Ela melameh, it teaches us. Shalohi kifu etair ela mishalosh ruchot bilbad. When we attack a city, we never surround it. We surround it on three sides. V'hinichu ruach revi'it pinuya b'lo hakafa. And you always leave the fourth side open. Why? Kadei sheyeh makom levorech livorach. To give the person who wants to run away, the ability to run away. Ulemisha rotzeli imaleit al nafsho. And if whoever wants to flee for his life, we give them the action. We don't surround on all four sides. Why? Because we're not warmongers. There's a very important message. Rambam actually writes this in Chol Malachim. That's how we paskin. We're not warmongers. We don't want to fight. You don't want to fight? You want to stop fighting? Kegizuntei. If you insist on fighting, we're going to fight to the end. But if you put your arms down and you want to live in peace, we would much prefer it that way as well. Okay? It teaches us to act with compassion. Afilu im oyveinu be'et milchama. We act compassionately even with our enemies during a time of war. If you ask me why do we keep giving them electricity and why do we keep giving them food, it makes me proud. It does. I don't think it would help us win the war one way or another. The people who are fighting us, they're not interested in whether they have electricity or they don't have electricity. In a sense, it only strengthens their position when their people are suffering more. Right? Because they'll just blame it on us anyway. You know? It's like that. It's like we read about the Midrash. They killed our princess. What was your princess doing there? You sent her there. Doesn't matter. Whatever. Give me a reason. See, they're causing us to suffer. Give me a reason. So we try to give them a little less reason. Correct. So why don't we act the way according to the Midrash says? So it's incumbent upon us to act according to the Midrash says. L'lamdeinu, I think it's beautiful words. L'lamdeinu l'hitnaheg b'chemla. To act with compassion. Afilu im oyveinu be'eta milchama. And that's what makes us us. And that's what makes us proud to be who we are. We will prosecute a war till the end. But we will prosecute that war b'chemla. It's a very hard line to toe. Very hard line to toe. To be nikom nikmat. This is Midian, remember. To vengeful vengeance, but at the same time, to give the option. If you don't want to fight, that's possible as well. All right, we'll stop here. Everyone should have
and
a safe.
Leave. What? That's what
you can leave.
You can leave.
You cannot fight. But here, we don't. You don't want to fight. We should have a safe Shabbat. We should know quiet. No alarm clocks at 2 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect our soldiers.
Amen.